Well, I want to join in welcoming you and thanking you for being here. We're grateful for our visitors, and we're thankful for our members who are all here as we worship God together this morning. It's important for us as Christians to be dependable. If we say we're going to help somebody, we should be there to help them. If we say we're going to do something, we should do it. We shouldn't go back on something that we've said we would do. And that means we should always be prepared to do whatever is necessary. And that's especially true when it comes to duties in the church. We have a list of song leaders and other people are told, you know, what we're going to do at different times. And then all of us as Christians out in the world, we all have responsibilities to act upon whatever our duties may be. We need to be prepared for that. We need to be ready. If we have an invitation talk, if at all possible, unless we find out the very last minute that we're supposed to do it because maybe somebody wasn't able to for whatever reason and then you have to jump in and do it, that's a different story. But you need to be prepared to do the invitation talk if it's your turn to do so. Or if you have a class to teach, if you're going to teach a class, teach a children's class or teach the adult class, then you should be ready to do that. Be prepared and not just go off the cuff in teaching. And as we're in the world, as we're helping and influencing others, as we're trying to show others the truth, we need to be prepared. We need to know what scriptures to use, maybe how we're going to go about it, what we can do in order to bring others to Christ. The problem with the church is that oftentimes Christians want to relax to the point where they're really not dependable, where they are just kind of going through the motions of being a Christian, but when something needs to be done, maybe they even volunteer to do it, but they don't put much effort into it. They don't work at it and try to really make it the very best that they can. Now, sometimes we see this, for example, after a gospel meeting. You know, you have a gospel meeting, you get all geared up for it, you get the flyer sent out, you invite all your friends and neighbors and people, whoever you see, you say, come to our gospel meeting, and we're all excited about it. But then after the week of it, you come every night and you go through each night and you're tired, and by the end of the week, you're just flat out exhausted, and then you're just like, oh, I can relax. I don't have to do anything anymore. Well, it doesn't work that way, does it? It doesn't mean you all of a sudden can stop inviting people and stop acting like a Christian and stop, you know, coming to services and whatever is involved in that. No, you have to keep on working. But those who are dependable at times and then other times they're not so dependable, those who are on fire sometimes and other times they're not on fire. And sometimes this is true with those who teach classes. If you're going to teach a class, maybe you get all the material ready. You have it all outlined out. It's all ready to go. And you start your first class and then your next class. And then you just kind of start slacking a little more and a little more until finally you're pretty much going to class and you're not even really prepared to teach it, because you aren't fired up for it anymore. It's not one of your priorities anymore. You let your work slip. It's easy for a Christian to relax and get to the point where they're not going all out. And that's what I want to call seasonal religion. Those who are seasonally religious, they are dependable at times, but at other times, they are undependable. Some days they are hot, other days they are cold. Sometimes they attend regularly, other times they stop attending altogether. And Paul addressed this very subject in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And you can go ahead and take out your Bibles and turn to there, if you haven't already, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. When he is writing, Paul is writing to the young evangelist Timothy and telling him what he can expect as a preacher. Timothy preached in Ephesus. We'll see that in just a minute. But here Paul was in prison and his life was going to end very shortly. And Timothy was going to be on his own because Paul wasn't going to be there to encourage him anymore. And so Paul writes this letter to tell him what he needs to expect as a preacher of the gospel and how he needs to keep working to show others that they need to keep working. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, this is what he tells Timothy. He says, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching." This is a warning to Timothy about becoming a seasonal evangelist. And it's a warning to Timothy to make sure that no matter how he feels, no matter what might come up in his life, that he's going to stay fired up and strong all the time. And if he doesn't, then he would be seasonal in nature. So we're going to talk about seasonal religion today. And the two points that we're going to do on this is learn what it means to be seasonal in our service to God, first of all. What all does that entail? And then we're going to understand that Christianity must not be seasonal in nature, as many want to try to make it that way. And then our conclusion will be that we must always serve God with a fervor in our heart. All right, so let's look at this text, and we're going to go ahead and read verses 1 through 8. We just read verse 2 earlier, but let's kind of put it all together. Paul says to Timothy, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing." Now there's two different situations here. You have Paul's situation, where he had been arrested and he was in Rome in prison. And this time, this is a second imprisonment of him being in Rome. And this time he wasn't going to be let out. He was going to be killed. And he knew that because he says that his departure is at hand in verse 6. He says, "I fought the good fight, I finished the race, I've kept the faith." He understands that he's done what's necessary to receive the crown of righteousness, that God, through His grace and mercy, has determined to save him from his sins, and through His grace and mercy will give him a home in heaven, as Paul worked in the kingdom as he did. But Paul was at the end of his life, whereas Timothy was still preaching. He preached in Ephesus, and he was preaching to those who needed encouragement. They needed instruction, and he needed encouragement, and he needed instruction. It's not always easy to be a preacher where you have to stay determined, you have to stay fired up, you have to stay motivated. And he knew that as he was a preacher. And so he's telling this younger preacher what he needs to do. That you need to preach the word and you need to be ready in season and out of season. In other words, any time and every time you be ready to preach the gospel. Don't ever relax that. Don't ever let your guard down. Don't ever stop. Preach the gospel. That's what he's telling to Timothy. And then, of course, Timothy's going to have to show the congregation in his teaching that they need to stay ready also in season and out of season. It applies certainly to everyone. So as we look at this text, let's look at the charge to Timothy. It's be ready, or if you read from the King James Version, it's the word instant. The Greek word which is translated be ready or instant is episteme, which is to be ready or to be on hand. So that's to any time to be ready to go. And incidentally, this is the same Greek word that's used in verse 6 when he says, for the time of my departure is at hand. It's the same Greek word, meaning that he's ready whenever the time comes, and it's at hand. It's about to happen. So you need to always be ready, is the point. And certainly Christianity demands a spirit of readiness. We have to always be prepared. When Paul was writing to Titus was also a preacher who Paul would write to and encourage. He told Titus in chapter 3 and verse 1, remind them to be subject to the rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. Be ready. See, each instance, when he writes to Timothy, he says you need to be ready in season and out of season. And he writes to Titus, he says you need to be ready for every good work. And then remember what Paul said when he was talking about himself as he's writing to the Romans in Romans chapter 1 and verse 15. It's the same thing that he says that he applies to him as Paul was preaching and teaching. He says, so as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel. Each one of those, these are three different preachers, and to each one of these three preachers, the charge is you be ready. And that is what the preachers need to teach in their lessons. Everyone must always have a spirit of readiness. When duty calls, the Christian must be at hand, no matter what that might be. There's no off-season for a Christian. It's a 7-day-a-week, 24-hour-a-day job. And that includes, brethren, when one is tired. It includes when it's an inconvenience. It includes when the work is hard. And it includes when we just flat out don't want to do the work. We don't stop being a Christian. It's always there. Be ready in season and out of season. You think Paul always felt good when he needed to be teaching the gospel? Do you think that he always felt like traveling as he went from one place to the other place? In our class this morning, he went a very short distance for Paul. Remember, he only went from Athens to Corinth, but it was 50 miles. That's short for Paul. He would travel a lot further than that in other instances. I think he always felt like climbing those mountains. Always felt like going from one place to another place. No. But he did it because he was always ready to preach the gospel. And he always knew that it needed to be done. And so as these young preachers, as Timothy and Titus, were working with their congregations and trying to show them how to live their lives, Paul says, you need to be ready at all times. And you need to tell the congregation they also need to be ready at all times. Christians must always be faithful. Christianity is something that must be practiced. We do something as Christians. It is a work. And as we look at a couple of passages here, as far as doing something, or as we as Christians are told to do different things, but these are just two examples of them. We look in James chapter 1 and verse 27. where he says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. As you live your life, brother, or as you live your life, sister, and you see those who are in need, then you help them. You do what you can for them. And as you live your life, then you go out and you keep yourself unspotted from the world. Don't join in with the practices of the world. Live differently than they do. These are charges to a Christian, to an individual Christian. You do it, I do it. We have to do something as Christians. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Same idea, work. Work is necessary in order to be a true Christian. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Even a Christian who has proclaimed his faith, who has been obedient to the Lord, even that individual. Because if you don't do the will of my Father in heaven, if you don't do the work, if you don't put it into practice, then you are not a true Christian. We must do something as Christians. We're not going to just be seasonal Christians. Remember, a saving faith is a working faith. Faith without works is dead. But not only that, not only does it demand faithfulness. When we look back at this passage in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, as we are it says to preach the word, to be ready in season and out of season. The fact that it involves work is certainly there, but look a little bit deeper at that. Not only is it the idea of being faithful, it is a faithfulness that has fervor behind it. It must be practiced with fervor. The Bible in more than one instance condemns indifference. The idea of being lukewarm is something that God does not think very highly of. He doesn't think that a Christian who is lukewarm is right in that attitude. When he's not hot, certainly not cold, because they are Christians, but they're not fired up either. They're just kind of right in the middle and they're kind of indifferent. They don't care much anymore. That is described as being lukewarm, and it's described as the Lord vomiting them up out of his mouth. The idea is not one that God appreciates, because every part of the Lord's work must be done with fervor. And that includes teaching, it includes preaching, it includes personal work. It includes attending. It includes singing. It includes every part of our worship. You know, on our Wednesday night classes is what we've started doing. We had, of course, the singing class for these several weeks. And then we're going to go into another part of our worship and then another part of our worship. And certainly it's going to be as far as helping the ones who lead in that. But it's going to be helping all of us to see the importance of it and that we should be doing it with everything that we have. Putting everything we have into it. That includes everything that we have into singing. It includes everything that we have into when we are praying together. Everything that we have when we're partaking of the Lord's Supper. When we're giving of our means. When we're preaching, when we're listening to the preaching, we're putting all that we have into it. All of our hearts. That's what the Lord demands. He demands practicing it with fervor. The Lord wants us to be hot, brethren, not lukewarm. But it goes even further than that. It goes to the fact that it demands a constant fervor. Be ready in season and out of season. That's constant. It's all of the time. That means, again, as we said in the introduction, we don't quit. We don't stop for a little while when we're tired. We don't take a break. We don't say, okay, I'm a Christian for on Sunday, and the rest of the time I've got to rest, and then I'll come back and be a Christian again. That's not how it works. It is a constant fervor. And that's because Christianity is not a seasonal religion. It's not circumstantial. It's not determined based upon whatever the circumstance is. Christianity is not dependent upon place. It doesn't mean that when we come to this place that we're Christians, but anywhere else that we are in this world, we are not Christians. Remember the Pharisees' religion and the passages here in Matthew chapter 6. What the Pharisees like to do is they like to proclaim that they were servants of God, but only in certain instances. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 2, it says, "When you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do." Where? In the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Verse 6, "But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." That's the idea, that you should do it in secret, meaning that you're not going to do it to be seen by men. That's kind of the contrast. I don't mean we have to always do things in secret, but it's the contrast there between being seen by men and doing it for the right reason. Then in verse 5, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corner of the streets, that they may be seen by men." So in each one of these instances, they're doing deeds to be seen by men. They're praying to be seen by men. And they're condemned because they're only doing it to be seen by men. They're doing it when men can see them. And the implication is when people don't see them, they don't care anymore. They think, stop being servants of God. I know some Christians like that. Do you know any Christians like that? Who they will be Christians at the time when it's convenient for them, when people will see that they're Christians and they'll give them a pat on the back for living a Christian life. But then the rest of the time, they're not Christians. They're Christians in church. They're Christians around other Christians. But they're not when they're out in the world. Christianity is not circumstantial. It's not dependent upon that. And it's certainly not dependent upon time. It's not dependent upon what time it is. The seasonal Christian would be zealous at 10:30 when they're worshiping God. The seasonal Christian would be zealous whenever they are during the time when they're around other Christians. A seasonal Christian would be zealous maybe except when they go on vacation. Maybe they're not going to be zealous then anymore. The seasonal Christian will remember Christ on Sunday, but not remembering any other day. But a Christian has to be a Christian regardless of the day or the hour. Christianity is not dependent upon feelings. We're Christians when we're tired. We're Christians when we are refreshed. The seasonal Christian works when he feels up to it, but he refuses to work when he's tired. The seasonal Christian prays when he's sick, but forgets to pray when he's well and when everything's going well. The seasonal Christian will base his Christianity on whatever feelings he has instead of being a Christian all the time. But what we have to understand is this. Because the future is uncertain, we have to be Christians all the time. We can't say, "I'm going to stop for now and I'm going to get back to it later," because we don't know what's going to happen in the future. The real test for Christians is serving despite the circumstances. It would be easy to serve God if we were always well. If we always felt the top of our game, it would be much easier to serve God. If we never got tired, if we never felt bad, it would be easy to serve God all the time then. It would be easy to serve God if the weather was always perfect, if the sun was always out, if it was always a beautiful day, it would be easy to serve God. It would be easy to serve God if we had no other responsibilities in this life. If you didn't have to go to work, and you didn't have bills to pay, and you didn't have all these stresses and struggles in your life, it would be easy to serve God then. It would be easy to serve God if we never had persecution. If everybody just kind of left us alone and let us be Christians and never put us down for it, never mocked us for it, never threatened us for it, whatever we might happen to face. But we know that none of that's possible because we're all pilgrims living in this world of sin. And we're going to have to put up with things while we are here. We should want to serve God with a constant fervor because of the uncertainty that we face. What if the Lord came back? What if He returned to this earth? Or what if we died whenever we were at a place where we shouldn't be? What if we were off doing something that we shouldn't do and then the Lord returns or we died? Maybe it's just one time. Maybe we normally don't go to this place. And yet we happen to be there when the Lord returns. What if the Lord returns when we're on vacation forsaking the assembling of the saints? We're normally always worshiping with the saints, but because of this circumstance is different, we've decided we're going to neglect the assembling of the saints. What if we are sitting at home forsaking the assembling of the saints when the Lord returns? We just say, well, I don't want to go to church today, so I'm just going to sit home. There's a show I want to watch anyway. There's a big game on, I want to watch that. So I'm going to stay home. And we're sitting there in our living room, and we hear the sound of the trumpet. And that's it. What if the Lord returns when we're doing something we shouldn't be doing? The future's uncertain, brethren. That's why we have to always be at the top of our game. Matthew 24 and verse 44, therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. There's a few examples of seasonal Christians, and we're not going to go into a lot of detail about them. We all know them. Remember John Mark? He was traveling with Paul. He decided he wanted to go back home. Paul didn't think very highly of him for doing that. He deserted Paul because he had something else, and we don't even know what it is. Some reason that he said he needed to leave. He was a seasonal Christian. Demas was a seasonal Christian in that he was hindered by the worldly attractions, and in fact, it caused him to fall away. Where he was on Paul's side working with him, and he fell. The Galatians were certainly seasonal Christians when they were hindered by their heresies. They were looking at all these other doctrines and following after those. And remember what the Lord said, what Paul said. He said that if anyone tells you anything, even an angel from heaven, then what you've seen or heard, let him be accursed. And yet they were being hindered in their service to God by their heresies. They were seasonal Christians. But we have an example of a constant Christian. And that's the one who's writing this letter to Timothy. It's the one who had been through all of this already. Who had been arrested, who had been beaten, who had suffered, who had struggled all through his life. But I'll tell you what, he was faithful. In prison and out of prison, he was faithful. He was faithful when he was financially supported and when he was not, when he had to make tents for himself in order to make it. He was faithful when he had friends and when he did not have friends. When Demas was with him, he was faithful. When Demas left him, he was with him. He was faithful. It didn't matter. At all times, Paul stayed true and faithful to God. He was a constant Christian. Again, he didn't say, well, I don't feel like preaching today. I don't feel like taking this trip today. I'm too tired. I want to go back home. I want to take a year off. He didn't do that. And we all have to follow his example and do the best that we can to be constant Christians. And I hope that all of us are doing that, that we have all determined in our heart that we're going to live the Christian life, and we're going to live it no matter what comes up, no matter what curveball is thrown at us, whatever it is, we're going to stay on that path. We're not going to stray from it. And we're going to work each day to get to heaven. I hope that all of us are doing that. We've all determined to be constant Christians instead of seasonal Christians. Are you a Christian? Have you obeyed the gospel? Are you a constant Christian? Are you obeying the gospel every day of your life? Are you living for Him every day of your life? We hope that you'll make the determination to do what's necessary to get right with the Lord. If you need to become a Christian, if you need to repent of your sins and be baptized in water for the remission of your sins after your confession that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, we urge you to make that choice, make that decision to become a child of God. But if you're a Christian and you haven't been living every day for Him, you haven't been a constant Christian, we want you to repent of that. Pray and ask the Lord to forgive you and press on. None of us are going to do that perfectly. We're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to struggle. We're all going to let our guards down from time to time. But when we do, we need to repent of that. And we need to do better the next time. And I hope that all of us work on that. And if you need to repent now and get back on track, we urge you to do that. We hope that you'll make the decision to respond to the gospel this morning, while we stand and while we sing.